This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Adam Ragusea, in for Anthony Brooks. 50,000 jobs. That's what Massachusetts stands to lose over the next 10 years if Congress fails to reach a deal on how to slow growth of the national debt.
If they don't, over $1 trillion in federal cuts gets triggered automatically next January. And given that we have an election in November, well, congressional deals may be hard to come by between now and then.
Marty Romiti directs the Donahue Institute at the University of Massachusetts, which came up with that 50,000 job figure in a recent report. And as he reminds us, this ball got rolling last summer when Congress screeched to a halt over the routine issue of raising the country's debt ceiling.
And so in the midst of this, of course, there was kind of a deal to make automatic cuts beginning in 2013, and really the impetus was to get both Republicans and Democrats to really agree on strategic cuts to the federal deficit and debt. And the supercommittee was appointed and didn't reach agreement, and so here these looming automatic cuts are set still to take effect. We wanted to revisit that because as much as people have said, well, they'll figure it out, you know, a lot of people are thinking, well, maybe not.
So file this under the category of politics have consequences, I suppose.
Well, it is, and it's interesting how much this politics is really, you know, edging into the potential economic recovery. Our group looks at the economy of Massachusetts, and we've been very encouraged by progress, particularly spurred by our innovation sectors, which Massachusetts is heavily invested in and have been a major reason why our unemployment rate is so much lower than the nation. And we have this potential to be shooting ourselves in the foot.
Now, the bulk of the automatic cuts concern Pentagon spending. So not surprisingly, according to your analysis, the largest single block of jobs that you forecast Massachusetts losing would be in the defense industry. Tell us about that.
Massachusetts is the fifth largest recipient of Department of Defense contracts. Although we don't have necessarily a lot of uniformed military personnel in the state compared to other states, we have a huge number of really good-paying private sector jobs that are funded through these Department of Defense contracts.
We're talking about companies like Raytheon, right?
Not only that, there's a whole host of much smaller businesses, not just the Raytheons of the world, but a lot of small and mid-sized companies throughout the state in defense.
Well, obviously, Massachusetts has a parochial interest in preserving these jobs. Politicians like Ed Markey and John Kerry, who sat on the supercommittee himself, they're out there today bemoaning these likely cuts. But these are the same politicians who, in prior years, have been quick to criticize wasteful Pentagon spending. So I want to ask you, to what extent do we know that the federal money being spent on our state's slice of the military-industrial complex is good money, or is it paying for the development of, you know, weapon systems that nobody wants?
That's always a little bit difficult to answer. You know, in Massachusetts in particular, our niche are on some of these very sophisticated, very high-tech pieces of our strategic military operations. You know, technological superiority is what keeps the U.S. defense and U.S. military ahead in the world. And what we're saying is it's not so much about do we need debt and deficit reduction. It's the care that you take. And I liken it to wasteful spending. Cutting it out is a scalpel and a surgery. Automatic cuts like are being proposed is a chainsaw.
So your analysis forecasts about 10,000 jobs lost in the defense industry in Massachusetts. You also forecast about 6,000 jobs lost in the healthcare industry if these automatic federal budget cuts come to pass. So in terms of the healthcare industry, are we talking cuts to things like federal research grants that fund a lot of what goes on over in the Longwood area, for example?
It's a combination of both the research into the hospitals, the new surgeries and the new devices, as well as the actual care. And there's a lot of squeeze going on in the hospital sector, which has been a sector that has been growing consistently without regard to business cycles up to this point. And so this squeeze could really slow that down.
And your analysis in total forecasts the loss of about 50,000 jobs in Massachusetts. Contextualize that number for us. How big of a deal would that be in terms of our state's overall economy?
Yeah, you know, you look at it at first glance, and, you know, we've got about over 3 million jobs. So 50,000 is a very small fraction. And yet, despite having that many jobs, we need more jobs because right now, even though we have a 6.8% unemployment rate, which is significantly lower than the national, that number is real people, real faces of our friends and neighbors. That means 240,000 Massachusetts residents are out there wanting a job and can't find one. So we need to create more jobs. When you look at last year, we had 40,000 new jobs created over the course of the year. So you're starting to make progress adding to the payroll in the state. And in that context, 50,000 lost starting in 2013 means essentially we wiped out all the progress we made over the past year. And that becomes very scary because it's so important that we continue to keep this fragile recovery moving forward.
These federal budget cuts are automatic under existing law. They will happen in January of next year unless Congress intervenes between now and then. Do you think that will happen?
Well, it's just so hard to say because, of course, this is an unknown, and that's an interesting aspect. There is a word to an economist that's worse than even a lousy economy, and the word worse than lousy for an economy is uncertain. So hopefully we're hopeful, but this uncertainty is already causing employers to kind of be cautious in bringing jobs back on, and that's something that we don't want to see.
Well, Marty, you're an economist, but you're also a public policy analyst, and you make public policy recommendations. The Massachusetts congressional delegation, would they do better to try to spend this next year trying to prevent these cuts or to prepare for them?
You know, it's not so much the congressional delegation. It's private sector and our small businesses that are already preparing for them. But it's important to know that innovation really is the driving force behind U.S. economic growth and connecting that innovation to making products right here in our manufacturing sector. And I think that's the important connection I hope both parties look at is how do you craft deficit and debt reduction in a way that doesn't slow down this recovery and doesn't cause this break between our innovation, our making these products, and our deploying them widely. That's where the future of our country lies. And so whatever happens, we hope that the compromises made will be good over the long run and not just short-term strategic political fixes.
Short-term strategic political fixes in an election year? Surely you jest.
I always say it's kind of walking on jello. You know, we're kind of slowly and teetering and tottering, and we're trying to maintain our steady footing. So I'm really hoping that we'll see Washington, D.C. help make our jello hard, so to speak, instead of causing it to bounce more.
Well, it's an eye-popping report, and we have a link to it at radioboston.org that our listeners can check out. Marty Romiti is the Director of Economic and Public Policy Research at the UMass Donahue Institute. Marty, thanks so much.
Yes, nice talking to you.
Well, up next, can science turn back the clock on female fertility? We'll take a look. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Adam Ragusea. This is Radio Boston.